Good morning. I still hear lovely songs in my head, Chris. Stand and worship with us. There ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'll be singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no tree gonna lift its branches. I lift my hands to glorify His holy name. Ain't no tree gonna lift its branches. I lift my hands to glorify His holy name. And I'll be singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. There ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. I lift my voice to glorify His holy name. Ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. I lift my voice to glorify His holy name. And I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify
sing praise His holy name.
I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name.
Ain't no rock, there ain't no rock
gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. There ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'm singing praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I'm singing praise His holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify
His holy name. As long as I'm alive.
Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name.
As long as I'm alive.
Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name.
You be seated.
Welcome and good morning. Glad you're here on a holiday weekend. We are in for an interesting journey this morning. This is 40 Minutes of Purpose. And on an exciting day when we celebrate the birth in many ways of our nation, we're going to go back and look at what are some essentials of our faith. Now, when we said we were going to do our worship in 40 minutes, that has created a lot of conversation. Can they do it? Can it really be done in 40 minutes? Is it really going to happen? And so, officially, we want to take and start the clock. And the clock has stopped.
Just buys us more time.
Hey. There you go. The clock is now running. Now, along the way, if I get slowed up at all, or I need to make a point,
kind of like a timeout. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It won't restart. That's great. It's the joy of technology. There we go. All right. The most basic question that everyone faces in life is, why am I here? What's my purpose? Now, If you go to the bookstore and buy a self-help book, it will suggest that you look within at your own desires and your own dreams. However, I want to suggest to you that the place to start is not with yourself, but the place to really start is with God. To look at God and try to discover what His purpose is for your life, what He has on a grand scale for your life, what His eternal purpose for your life is. Real meaning and real significance in life comes from understanding and fulfilling God's purpose for each and every one of us. And if you're trying to find it any other place, you're not going to be satisfied. There's a book that many people have read called The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren. It's a devotional book. It's a book that's designed to take you on a journey where you can spend 15 minutes a day reading and studying and moving through God's Word. And churches all across America have formed study groups with it, and marketing gurus and publishing houses have now started a campaign of 40 Days of Purpose and things like that. And so it was against that backdrop that we started structuring some of the things that we were going to talk about and say today. One of the things that you've got to remember is that from the very beginning, from day one of the existence of CCC, we have been teaching you how to live a life driven by purpose. It's been in everything that we've written and everything that we've done. As a matter of fact, we have a history of being able to share some things that are foundational, and we shared them with you time and time again. And these are things that hopefully, if you start plugging them into your life, gives you a purpose and a passion for living. Long before churches were putting on their signs, "We're a purpose-driven church," CCC was a church that was driven by purpose. And that purpose was very, very clear. Now, we're excited about that, and we're excited to be able today to look back at some things and to break them down for you, because over the next 40 minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to hear some things again for the first time that will be helpful, that will be insightful, but we're going to accomplish in 40 minutes what you don't need to spend 40 days trying to figure out. We've got a lot to do, so let's get started. To start, you need a definition. And the definition is a definition of purpose. Purpose is this: that which a person sets before themselves as an object, an aim, or a goal to be reached or accomplished. It's an outcome that is intended and guides your actions. In other words, purpose, or having purpose, is setting your sights, living your life, intending your life, moving your life in the direction to get to a certain outcome. That's what purpose is. And so if you're going to discover purpose in your life, you've got to understand that there is a goal that you've got to set. There's something that you need to be moving toward. There's something that you have to purpose yourself to get to. And that, in a nutshell, is purpose defined. Now, that's great. You've got a definition to start with, but over the next few minutes, we're going to go into God's Word and look at some things that really do very clearly explain what it is we're supposed to do. So the question is, what is my purpose? We're going to discover that as the day goes on. Would you bow your heads and hearts for just a moment as we continue this journey together? God, we are grateful that we don't have to wonder about our purpose. We're grateful that Your Word teaches it to us, and we're grateful that it can be discovered when we're willing to take a close look. And so today I ask that this would be a day for us where we would look, closely, and that we would be willing to understand, set our sights, and then live our lives in a way that really does fulfill the purpose that You have created for us, that You've destined for us. We have a long way to go in a short amount of time. Help us, Heavenly Father, to hear clearly, see You clearly, and walk away clear about what it is that You have called us to be. We pray in Your holy name. Amen.
Stand and repeat after me. Hail Jesus, You're my King.
Hail Jesus, You're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise You all my days. You're perfect in all Your ways. Hail Jesus, You're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, You're my Lord.
I will obey your word. I long to see your kingdom come. Not my will, but yours be done. Sing glory, glory to the Lamb. Take us into the land. We will conquer in your name. And proclaim that Jesus reigns. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How wonderful you are. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How powerful you are. Sing glory, glory to the Lamb. You take us into the Lamb. We will conquer in your name. And proclaim that Jesus reigns. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Take us into the land. We will conquer in your name. And proclaim that Jesus reigns. And proclaim that Jesus reigns. And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
You know, that capo worked a whole lot better in practice. Got to tell you, how are you this morning? You be seated. There we go.
So since we've got a clock running, we just have to stop real abruptly.
Exactly.
It's really the way
right.
It works better now. Yeah.
If I'm off, I'm stopping.
Oh, done. Okay. We're going to talk, first of all, about discovering purpose in three steps. And there really are three steps to discovering purpose in your life, and not necessarily discovering the purpose in your life, but discovering what your purpose is. And Scripture doesn't hide it. As a matter of fact, it's very, very simple. Today is a day when we can think about this maybe even a little bit more clearly. Because in July, in 1776, there was an event that changed history and impacted every single person that sits in this room this morning. The place is Philadelphia. There's a group of men who have gathered together to put their name on a document. A document that was unusual and unique. The Declaration of Independence is the document that our founding fathers signed on that day. But the Declaration of Independence stands apart from the founding document of any other nation in the fact that it openly recognizes God as the creator of all men and recognizes God as the one who endows to men certain rights for freedom as individuals, and that freedom is based on the rights that He grants. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about the Declaration of Independence that way, but by the very wording in that document, you have freedom according to that document. We were founded as a nation that was destined to be free, based not upon our own desires and our own wishes, based not upon what we thought was a good thing to do, but simply based upon the fact that because God had given men, as He had created them, these are rights that must be fought for, upheld. These are rights that are worth dying for. And so, in Philadelphia, on July 4th, one after the other, this group of men walked forward and put their name on that document. The document began with these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Freedom to live, the freedom to celebrate that freedom, the freedom to pursue and chase dreams and goals and desires, the things that would make us happy. At the end of the document, just above where these men signed, it says this: "We therefore publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they signed their name to that. They said, trust in God that this is the right course. Trusting His direction, we pledge our lives, our honor, and our fortunes to this end. And they signed that declaration. Now, for some, it cost them everything. For some, it did cost them their lives. For some, it cost them their fortunes. For some, it cost them their families. For some, it cost them their friends. But their goal was freedom, was independence. If ever there was a day that we can remember and understand what purpose is all about, go back to the very founding of this nation, those men who put their lives, their fortunes, and their honor on the line, they signed a document that was intended with one purpose, that it would establish a free people. We are here because years ago in 1776, men of purpose gathered together, and there was nothing that was going to derail them from accomplishing that task. They were willing to put it all on the line to get there. That's the problem that we have with purpose. We want to have purpose in our lives, but so often we don't want to put it on the line to get there. We say we want to have a life driven by purpose, but then we want to hedge our bets. We want the purpose to be convenient. We want the purpose to be easy. We want the purpose to be something that can be bought, wrapped, gift wrapped, gimmicked, and made so simple. And it's not. And yet Scripture teaches us some things about purpose that if you will look, and if you will look closely, you can embrace these things and you never have to wonder what it is you're supposed to be doing in life. You never have to wonder, what is my purpose? It's very simple. It begins with what I think is the great commandment. Jesus was asked this question in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And Jesus talks about what is most important. And I just think it's so vital for us as believers that if you want to know what the most important thing is, why not ask Jesus? And so you go to Scripture. And you ask, and you look, and you say, did anybody ever ask Jesus what really was most important? And they did. In this particular passage, they come to Him, and Jesus was asked a question. The question He was asked, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? In other words, what's the most important thing? What's the thing that we ought to do more than anything else? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment. Matthew 22:34-40. And if you've never thought about it that way, you can start thinking of that, those verses in that way as the great commandment. If we're going to discover purpose in our lives, then you have to make a decision. And the first decision you have to make is, am I going to do the things that God says is most important for me to do in my life? I mean, if you're going to have a goal, if you're going to have an aim, if you're going to have a target of being anything, what a better place to get it than from Jesus? What is the most important thing? And He says it. And it breaks it down in two different ways. Love God, love others. And when you do those two things, when you decide that those two things are going to be a part of your life, you already have the first two steps of having purpose. A life driven by purpose. Step one, love the Lord. Step two, love others. It really is that simple. Why are you here? You're here to love the Lord. And then what else did He say you should do next? Well, love others. You are here to love. First two steps. First two keys in having purpose. Found in that one verse, or that one clump of verses. And if you're willing to do that, then some other things are going to happen. Which brings me to another passage of Scripture that you've probably heard called the Great Commission. I would suggest to you it's a great calling. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. In those verses, it says this. Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He is placing upon them a call for their lives, a task. What is it they're supposed to do? Well, He said the most important thing is love God, love others. And so if they're going to do that, then what happens now? Well, here it is. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. In that passage he says, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. And baptize them. Well, who's he talking about baptizing? The ones that you're sharing with, the ones that you are in the process of making disciples. And he says, and teach them. Who's he talking about? He says, teach the ones that you are making disciples. In other words, the call here is to go and make disciples of all nations, of everyone. You baptize them, you teach them. And Jesus says, teach them everything that I have commanded you. Well, Jesus said, love God and love others. He spent 3 years of his life pouring into people how they needed to relate and deal with one another, how they needed to relate and deal with God, how they had a task, and how they would be able to make a difference in the world. And so if you take that and you want to summarize it, it brings us to step three. And step three is very simple. Change the world. Love the Lord first. Love others. Change the world. My friends, that's your purpose. That's why you're here. That answers the big questions. What am I here for? Why do I exist? You're here to love God, to love each other, and to change the world. It's biblical. It's simple to understand. It's harder to live. But it's all right there. You never have to worry on any given day of your life that when you wake up in the morning you don't have a purpose. You do. It's right here. And it's a full-time job, and it takes everything that you've got, and it takes all your energy, and it takes all your focus, and it takes your whole heart. But you, in those three steps, have already discovered the purpose for your life. And so the question becomes, are you ready to start fleshing out and living your purpose? Because if you are, in just a few moments, we're going to come back and figure out how to stay in step and accomplish those things, and why we need to do so. Today is a day which is the greatest illustration we could ever give of what it means of people with purpose making an impact. I believe we're getting ready to sing, and what we're getting ready to sing involves everyone standing up. Right. It is a day when we are grateful for a gift that we have of freedom and freedom to worship. Stand to your feet if you wouldn't mind, because as soon as we start you're going to know why. Let's sing together.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
You be seated.
I've often wondered in my mind, thinking back to that day in Philadelphia so many years ago, if they ever really, really had a clear picture of what it would turn out like, if what it could be. I mean, if you try to think about those men that put their name on that document, that Declaration of Independence, so amazing because it was a clear statement of the fact that they believed that God had given us certain rights that we could assemble and gather and live by. They didn't know what that looked like. They had no idea how that would come together. These were a group of people that believed so strongly in that quest for freedom that it became that goal that fixed their gaze, their hearts, and they chased with everything that they had. When you talk about a life driven by purpose, while that is an amazing illustration for us to remember on this day, the passages that I just read to you, the great commandment and the great calling, if you will, give to us what are three things that, if we are willing, can revolutionize our life. Wouldn't you love it for someone to say, in summarizing your life, there's a person who loves God, loves others, and is making an impact in the world with the love of Christ? I mean, isn't that the kind of thing that you want on your tombstone one day? Isn't that the kind of legacy that you want to leave? Isn't that the kind of destiny that you want to chase? Isn't that the kind of life that you want to reach and strive for? Isn't that what it is that ignites your imagination and your heart on a journey to be far more than you ever thought you could? Isn't that enough to get you moving each and every day to know that you're part of a calling that is bigger than you are, that lasts throughout eternity, that doesn't end when the heartbeat stops, but instead is just another step in the journey? Those things, biblically based, biblically mandated, and non-negotiables, that's what you have to do. I mean, you can always look back and say, well, I know I'm supposed to love God, but I'm not supposed to love everybody. Well, no, you're supposed to love everybody. And you say, well, I'm going to be a literalist. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Well, when Jesus was asked, who's my neighbor? Jesus picked the biggest outcast of all, the most hated of all, and made him the hero of the story and the Good Samaritan. Jesus went on to say, you love your friends. Anybody can do that. You have to love your enemies. I think others means others. I don't think anybody gets left out. And then the mandate to go out and you teach them what I told you. You show them what I taught you. You live it out. You make disciples where they get to know me, they become like me. That is the mission that we're a part of. And chasing any other purpose is going to leave you frustrated, angry, unfulfilled, and struggle. This, I believe biblically, is the only purpose that fulfills your destiny. And so you have to ask yourself, am I living a life with that kind of purpose? Does that reflect what I live for every day? And only you know the answer to that, but if the answer is no, then you can fill in the gaps and fill in the blanks and say, well, that's kind of why things maybe aren't right in my life. Maybe that's why I'm not doing the things I think I ought to be doing. Maybe that's why I'm not fulfilled. That's why I'm not finding that joy that's supposed to be a part of my journey. Because you've missed your purpose. And it's right there. And by the way, if you haven't figured it out, as I said, for 10 years we taught that. We just categorized it into this phrase, touching and changing the world with the love of Jesus. Call Christ. It's a mission. Who we're supposed to be. Now, let me give you some helpful hints about staying in step on purpose. If you want to do those three things, then something has got to happen for you in your life. I mean, you've got to make yourself available to do the things that you need to do to accomplish those three things. And if you take these things out of the mix, then you're going to find it close to impossible to be able to do the things that you need to do. So in other words, purpose becomes very elusive if you're not willing to do some of the other things we talked about. And so the question became in study, well, if this is what Jesus said was most important, and this is the call that he placed on his disciples, his followers' lives, and this is what he told them to do, well, how did that look? Does the Bible tell us how it looked? Does the Bible tell us how that painting would have looked? How does that flesh out? How does that work? And actually, the Bible does. If you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, you find what is a picture of these original group of disciples, this original group of purpose-driven people, this original group of people who decided that they would touch and change the world with the love of Christ, this is what they did. And so this also becomes the model for what we should do, I'm convinced. Verses 42 through 47, Acts chapter 2, says this: They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In those verses, I think we find four ways to stay in step. And so I want to give them to you, but that becomes the backdrop for them. The first one is simply this: you stay in step with real worship. You stay in step with real worship. In verse 42, they were learning. And part of that learning is there's a connotation of a celebration with that. I mean, they're learning and embracing the truth of God, and they're learning more about Him, certainly a part of worship. In verse 43, it says they were filled with awe. Now, that word in the Greek is one that knows that you're filled with a reverence and understanding of something bigger than you are. So they were filled with awe, not at the miracles themselves, but at what the miracles or the signs and the wonders were showing them. And what they were showing them was the fact that God really is who He said He was. There was an awe and a reverence and a holiness. And actually, the word in a Greek culture, to a person who was reading in early Greek, there was a phrase that was used in Greek that was based on the same word, because a good Greek person would have a reverence or an awe for the world that they lived in. In other words, there was an understanding that as they moved through life, that there was something bigger than they were that was in charge of it all. And that was to be respected and tried to embrace. And so, and again, even in the secular culture, when this word was written, they understood it. An awe, which is a part of your real worship. In verse 46, every day they met in the temple courts. It was an ongoing thing. They were heading to the temple every day. They were gathering together. They were learning. They were spending time together. They were celebrating. And in verse 47, it simply says, in praising God. You stay in step with real worship. So in other words, if you're going to learn to love God and love others, and you're going to touch and change the world, a part of your life has to be real worship. Worship. Worshiping Him privately. Worshiping Him publicly. Worshiping Him in those moments of your devotional life when you were just trying to get to know Him better and have an intimacy with Him. And then worshiping in moments together. Not focusing on those around you, but focusing on Him and Him alone. Real worship helps keep you in step to stay on track and fulfilling your purpose. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to see is you stay in step with real fellowship. Verse 42 again, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. In other words, they devoted themselves to spending that time together. They made that time together a priority. They made that relationship that they were drawing together. They realized the importance of connecting to one another and drawing strong relationships. They made it a priority. They devoted themselves to that. That was important. In a day and age where folks often want to make church and plugging into church a matter of convenience, it wasn't. It was a priority. And sometimes if we wonder why is it so hard for us to find purpose sometimes, really the answer biblically and scripturally is because we sometimes don't do the things that we need to do to stay on track. And so when I say we stay in step this way, one of the things that you need, and we've said it before, we need each other in this journey. We need the fellowship that comes from being a part of the body of Christ on the journey together. As flawed and as frustrating as we can be, we've got to have each other. Verse 44 also says, they were together and they had everything in common. In other words, it wasn't about what somebody else had, it was that we are together in this. What I have is yours. And it was understood that if there were needs, the needs would be met. It was just a given that together as a family, they could face anything that came along. And it's interesting that these early Christians were described as people who literally turned the world upside down. They just rocked the world. They were so overwhelming. They were so amazing because together they held on They worship together. They begin to understand the truth of where they were supposed to go and what they were supposed to do. And they believe they could do it because they were part of a team, a big team, that could make it happen. In verse 46, they met together at the temple. They shared meals together. Together, not just in proximity, but even more importantly, in heart, they were connected. We were formed for God's family. And so the second thing that you must do if you're going to stay in step is enjoy real fellowship. The third thing is to stay in step with real discipleship. Real discipleship. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the disciples' teaching. In other words, they made learning and growing a priority. Not on their terms, but basically on the terms of what was real. On the terms of what Jesus had taught. The disciples were following the calling that Jesus placed on their life. You teach them to obey the things that I have taught you. You teach them to do the things that I have commanded you. Teach them so that they will understand and be able to live it out. In other words, they committed themselves to becoming more like Him, becoming like Christ. And we were created for that. We were created to become more like Christ. And so the third way to stay in step is to commit yourself to a real discipleship. Make it a priority. Not convenience, and not something you shortcut. Not something you shortchange. But a real striving to be more like Him. And then the fourth thing, or the fourth way to stay in step, is you stay in step with real ministry. Verses 44 and 45. What does it say they were doing? If you look closely at those verses, especially as they're written in the NIV, we find out that they were sharing, they were touching, and they were impacting the world around them. People were seeing how they related. People were watching what they were doing. They were relating to one another. They were meeting the needs, whatever needs came up. In other words, they became involved and they were doing ministry. We stay in step with real ministry. That's what the early church did. Who was the early church? They were people who answered the call, followed the command. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love others. I'm going to change the world. And how did it look? Well, they got serious about worship. They got serious about fellowship and connecting with the family of God. They got serious about becoming more like Christ in discipleship. And they got serious about doing ministry and making that a priority, which certainly ties in to touching and changing the world. These are the ways that they were able to stay in step. This is how it looked. When you do those three things and you make that the purpose of your life, then to get good at that and to be effective at that and to make it happen, these are the four ways that they figured out they would be most successful. And they were. That first century church changed the culture. That first century church changed people's lives in such a way that the ripple effect came down through the times, and all of a sudden in 1776, in a little place called Philadelphia, there was a group of men who were able to get together and understand that God had created them to be free, and that every man had rights. These were rights that were endowed by the Creator. That's what they wrote, endowed by the Creator. Not because they wanted them, not because they were bigger, not because they were badder, not because they thought they were tougher, not because they thought they could win a war or a fight. It was far bigger than that. These were rights that were granted by a Creator. How did they know that? How could they have known that? Because the church in the first century did their job. They did what they set out to do. These purpose-driven people who lived lives driven by purpose way back when did the three things that they were supposed to do and make a priority. They figured out a way to make it work, like we just looked at, and all of a sudden the ripple effect of that is you're here today, they changed you. Wow, talk about purpose. Talk about a purpose that's bigger than anything we are. Talk about fulfilling your destiny. Man, you don't have to worry about purpose. You don't have to worry about having a life driven by purpose. It's right there. And you commit yourself to do three things. And when you commit yourself to do that, we just gave you four things that will start being a part of your life, and that keeps you in step. Done deal. See, and I haven't looked at the clock behind me, but I know all of you are transfixed by it. In less than 40 minutes, You've already heard what your purpose in life is. In less than 40 minutes, you already heard four things that you have to do to let that purpose come alive and start happening in your life. Now, you can walk out the door, and you can take the next 40 days and work on it, but I have news for you. You're going to be working on it for the next 40 years, because you can't do it in 40 days. One of the things that we talked about as we started planning this is that you can learn it in 40 minutes. It takes a lifetime to live out. But you can have a life driven by purpose. The book that you need is the Bible. The points are simple. And in just a minute, if you start thinking about those steps, I'm going to tell you how it happens. But before we do, let's stand and sing together and praise Him and allow Him to remind us that we live this life a step at a time, moment to moment, and that's what we commit ourselves to do, step by step.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn to walk in Your ways. And step by step, You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of I'll follow You all of my days. I will follow You all of my days. Yes, I will follow You all of my days. And step by step, You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days. You be seated.
I got a feeling the 2-minute warning is getting ready to go off. And we get to that 2-minute mark. We've hit the home stretch. You've got the 3 steps. Love God, love others, change the world. We went through and said, looked at how we stay in step. We used that early church as the model and realized these guys did it so well. That's why you're here today. It was because of that that a nation was founded. So here's the $1 million question. See, we start with the question is, what is my purpose? We already dealt with that. What am I here for? We already dealt with that. We've even looked at how do you do it and how do you stay on track. But the big question is, what's it going to take for me to live it out? Ah, now that's really the question, isn't it? I mean, we're full of knowledge as to how to do stuff. So what's it going to take? And so here it is, a deep spiritual answer. This is what you need to know. This is the last piece of the puzzle. And if you plug this in, this is going to make it happen. This will ignite that kind of purpose and passion in your life. This is what it takes. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? This is what it takes. You saying, I'm going to do it. I know it's kind of a letdown, but you saying, I'm going to do it. I mean, you taking personal responsibility, not looking at the person on your right or left saying, well, if they would do this or this, I could do this. Okay, no. You. How about you? What are you going to do? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the personal responsibility. I'm going to do my part. And I'm just going to have to trust that the people around me are going to do their part. But if they don't do their part, it has nothing to do with what I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my part. That's purpose. When those guys put their name on the Declaration of Independence, it wasn't about whether everybody was going to agree with them. They knew they were going to be unpopular. It wasn't about whether everyone was going to like it. These guys lost their lives, their families, their fortunes. But they knew they were doing it because it was the right thing to do. And I want you to understand that living a life driven by purpose is the right thing to do. But it's up to you. Are you going to do it? And when you decide yes, you're there. I knew that we ran out of time when everybody started smiling. Ah! Oh, we don't know what he said, but he ran out of time. And someone's going to walk out the door and say, I couldn't listen to you 40 minutes, Jeff. It's over. Purpose in 40 minutes. Let's pray. God, we know what to do. We've seen the model on how to make it happen in our lives. Help us as a people to commit to doing that. We pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thanks for being with us on the 4th today. It is indeed the 4th of July. I hope you feel patriotic today. I hope that you're looking forward to spending a day just thinking about, for a few moments, the freedom that you have. And I know that we celebrate 4th of July in a whole lot of ways. What I would really desire for you to take some moment at some point today is just to stop and praise and thank God for the fact that we had the freedom to come together and do what we did this morning. Thank God for the fact that somebody really did have purpose so many years ago that got us to this point. We live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. I'm convinced of that. And I am so grateful for the freedoms that we have. I'm like you guys sometimes. I watch news, and boy, I wish that there were some times that people would remember some of the stuff that we even talked about this morning, how this nation was founded. Because I'm convinced that we were founded on not... I think we were founded on a theological document, to be honest with you. And I know I stand very much by myself at times when I make those kinds of statements. And, you know, and I can guarantee you that someone, if they listen this long to 40 Minutes of Purpose, will get email about what I just said. About the fact that we're founded on a theological document. So unique in all of history. Man, we get to celebrate that. Shouldn't that ignite purpose within us when we think about that? Shouldn't that create something different within us? I hope it does in you. I hope that sometime today you will think about that. I want to call your attention to one announcement, and Leanne's got some other ones for you. But I want you to go ahead and mark on your calendar 5 weeks from today. Our birthday is on August 8th. And on that day, we celebrate another year of ministry, and that becomes our birthday. It's 5 weeks away. The theme is Heroes. Now, you know, we don't tell you a whole lot about it before it unfolds, but we do tell you the theme, and we let you start thinking about that. I can promise you it's going to be fun. It will be wild. It will be different. It will be church like you know that it is every once in a while around here, but church like, you know, other people don't do very often. And it's going to be a great time. That evening, we're going to be getting back together. We're going to have a church-wide fellowship, and you get to come dressed as, it's a costume party. You get to come dressed as your favorite hero or villain. And you just have to explain who you are when you get here, okay? So make sure it's something we understand. But that'll be that evening. That'll take place here. It's going to be a great time, but get it on your calendar now. Don't go, oh, I forgot it was a birthday. The birthday is 5 weeks away. How many weeks away is it?
Five.
All right. What else do we need to know?
Well, it may take me 40 minutes to do all the announcements. We are busy around here. Make sure you pick up this week's Covenant. Where's Melissa Barber? I should have her come up and give the announcements. Wired Summer Fun Day is Tuesday. That's from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. That's for all our students who have graduated from 6th through 12th grade. We're going to have a water slide out front. The power plant will be open for free play. There'll also be volleyball, so come dressed to have fun and sweat. You need to bring a lunch with you. And like I said, the cost is just $3. Midweek, this is week two of our family edition. So make sure you're here. We kind of keep everybody together and then break up and then come back. Last week was a lot of fun. We're learning the Fruits of the Spirit song that y'all learned last week. It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, cool. We're teaching more this week, and so the middle schoolers are pumped to teach you that. And that all starts at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Firewire, that is our new ministry geared for if you have a student going into 5th and 6th grade next year. They have a... I don't know what to call it. A movie night going on Thursday night. Meet here at 6:15. There's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. If you're coming, please let us know. Let's see. High Voltage, that's our high schoolers. We leave for camp at 3:45 a.m. on Saturday. So you guys can pray for us that we get up and moving and get to the airport. Parents, I gave the students a sheet today that you need to see, so make sure you see that from them. That's got all the information. Splash, because we're leaving at 3:45 in the morning with the high schoolers, we're not going to do Splash Friday night. So you ladies will meet Sunday right after service, and you can just go to the conference room and put the bags together. There is a sign-up sheet out on the information table of stuff that we need for the Hubbard House bag, so if you would, go ahead and sign up. You will not meet Friday night, but we'll meet Saturday or Sunday afternoon, sorry. And then Lava Island. I was in Target the other day, and this little girl was singing one of the songs, because I'm the song whatever. And I said, that's from Lava Island. And she said she had so much fun, and she was pumped and telling me all kinds of cool stuff. So you want to tell more about that?
Lava Island is just a couple weeks away as well, and we still need some help financially. So if you can help us out, that would be great. More importantly, though, on the table are these cool little cards. And when you open them up, it's an invitation to Lava Island. When you open it even further, you see that it's a registration card. Now, if you are a mom or dad of someone who is coming to Lava Island, we ask that you fill out that registration card before you get here. Our registrar, Lori Barber, will like you much, much better if you do that rather than clogging up the table. If you'd like to turn it in early, you're also welcome to do that. But more importantly, take that and hand it to some child in your life, a neighbor kid, your niece, your nephew, your granddaughter, your grandson. Let's get some children's body in the house where they can be reminded yet again that Jesus' love flows for them. Lava Island, July 19th through 23rd. Find a kid, drag him in. But let their parents know first, because if not, it's called kidnapping, and that's bad. That's bad. Stand and let's pray together. You'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have to live in America. We ask, Lord, that you would remind us that it is a blessing, a privilege, an opportunity, a grace gift from you. Lord, help us to love and to give and to share and to touch and to change the world with that understanding. Help us to be people of purpose. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen, and you're dismissed.